Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and good morning. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Captain Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. And we're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcasts on iTunes.
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Francis.
How are you this morning? I'm sorry, we have a great... I didn't let you answer. How are you, Mark?
Because you don't care. No, you don't really care how I am. You really don't.
Polite. we have a guest coming on.
You're totally one of those guys, by the way.
We have a guest coming on.
How you doing? Whatever. Yeah, it's okay. La, 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 la. Can't hear you.
We have a guest coming on later. Ariane Degan of D'Artagnan will be joining us. D'Artagnan is a producer of many fine foods. One of them is foie gras. Foie gras is embattled across the state. Chicago has passed legislation banning foie gras, and California has passed some legislation that will eventually outlaw the production and sale of foie gras. And animal rights activists, animal rights extremists or misinformed animal rights activists across the country are trying to speak out against foie gras and get it taken off menus. We're all for foie gras.
And D'Artagnan has a lot of specialty products, things that you can buy. You can buy, you know, raw duck, or you can buy finished pâtés, or a lot of different products. You see them in a lot of your specialty markets because D'Artagnan really has a stranglehold on that segment of the marketplace.
One of the things that's very exciting about the Chicago passing the law against foie gras is we've seen, talked to many people, friends, colleagues, customers, who are outraged because foie gras is produced more humanely than McNuggets chickens, more humanely than your beef that you find. And what we're hearing a lot of our customers say is, because what the foie gras protesters will do is they'll stand outside a restaurant and say, the cruelty to animals, foie gras done here, because they're too cowardly to go stand out front of McDonald's and say, real cruelty to animals done here. But what a lot of these protesters are really about is they don't want us to use animals for food at all. And foie gras is sort of the low-hanging fruit because it's only eaten by a few people. People don't understand it.
I hope to talk to her some more about some of the other things that are going on, too, with lobsters and sauerkraut like that.
But foie gras ducks are not inhumanely produced, in my opinion, and I've looked at it pretty closely.
Well, when we talk about this, and we're going to talk about this with Ariane in a few minutes, but when we talk about cruelty and inhumanity and waste, you know, in my town, they gas thousands of ducks, or in my county, in Union County, New Jersey, they gas thousands of ducks because there are too many ducks in the area. They're becoming a nuisance and pollutant problem because there are just physically too many of them. There aren't very many predators in these towns for them. But they gas them and then
throw them out.
Throw them away.
Right.
I mean, tell me what's more of a crime, to kill a duck and not use it, or to feed a duck until it gets to a point where
it's time for meat and you can nourish a human.
It's time for meat and it's our food.
Well,
The whole thought process of one thing being okay and the other thing not being okay. And listen, you need to get rid of the ducks, I understand. But to think that somehow foie gras production is, you know, in any way less humane than that, I don't comprehend.
Well, so here's the deal, everybody. One of the methods that the foie gras, the extreme animal rights activists are taking, and remember, we are all for humane methods of animal
husbandry. Absolutely.
We work every day for it.
Absolutely. But work very hard to make sure that your veal gets to walk around instead of being shut up in a pen, and the same with your chickens and your other animals. You know, happy food is good food.
But one of the things that you can do, and this is, I'm hearing more and more, not instigated by me, I'm hearing people say, if I ever hear that foie gras protesters are outside a restaurant, I immediately make a reservation.
That's true.
Go to that restaurant and I order foie gras. Because listen, everybody, these chefs are under a lot of pressure to take foie gras off the menu. And whether you like foie gras or not, that's not the point. It's about, this is a legitimately produced product that a certain band of extremists are trying to outlaw, and even when they can't outlaw it, they're trying to intimidate the chefs into taking it off the menu, and I think that's a real problem. So if you see foie gras protesters outside a restaurant, go to that restaurant, call that restaurant up, buy a gift certificate for that restaurant, because the chefs need to know that there are people out there that support the right to have a whole broad array of food. And it also, Look, we talked to Adele Douglas, who is in charge of a group called Humane Farm Animal Care. You can go to their website, certifiedhumane.com. And she was on the show, and you can look it up on our website and listen to the show. And we asked about all the really inhumane ways that animals are being raised, and they really had no opinion on foie gras. That's not on the top of their list for sure. And what this does, what this debate does, is it weakens the argument, and it weakens the political will, and it takes energy away from the people like Adele Douglas at Humane Farm Animal Care, who are really trying to work to make sure that we raise animals humanely, and good food is healthy food. Because when you raise animals humanely, you don't need to pump them full of antibiotics, you don't need to pump them full of hormones, and you get great-tasting food.
Mm-hmm. I think it's funny because it puts somebody who might normally be on the same side as we, which is you know, to take care of these animals before you eat them, and it puts them on the other side of us because they've gone too far. They've gone too far because the... You know, meat is food. You know, if you talk to a Buddhist, you know, they say that a carrot has a soul.
Certain
you
Buddhists.
Know, a certain Buddhists, I'm sorry. But, you know, we need to sustain ourselves. We are human beings who sustain ourselves on everything that's been provided for us.
And not to, there are a lot of meat-eating Buddhists out there. Mm-hmm. And there are very segments of Buddhism where you can't eat meat. Hey, listen, so what I want to talk to you about is foie gras. You can go to we're going to put the link up on our website to D'Artagnan, and you can buy foie gras raw now, which you haven't been able to buy. It comes in a lobe. It's a big, oversized lobe. And it's not so difficult to cook at home as you might think. Mm-hmm. I have a recipe up on the website, restaurantguysradio.com, where you can make foie gras with apples. It's really delicious. And if you have some nice prosciutto, that's good as well. But in the summertime, when we do grilling, or actually we grill all year round now, one of the somewhat difficult ways, if you want to be the really adventurous person at home, cook at home, one of the ways that you can, and this takes a while to master, you can grill a whole lobe of foie gras, or
which
a half
means a
liver.
Lot of wasted foie gras, by the way.
It does, but you know,
beware.
If you're going to be decadent, because the thing has so much fat, a lot of the fat drips out. What I recommend doing is preheating your oven and heating it up.
I was going to say, doing this on the grill at home, foie gras renders a lot of fat. A lot of fat comes out of the foie gras when you cook it. Doing it on your grill at home will probably make a mess and a fire.
Yeah, but it's okay. It's worth it. No, we'll make a fire. Do it. Grill it at home. You season it on the outside, and you take the lobe of foie gras, which is a half a liver, right? And you can grill it on two sides until you get a nice sear, nice grill marks on the two sides. If it's a big lobe, you probably might want to finish it in the oven.
Right.
To bring it up to where it's done right. And look, there's some trial and error here. And if you go under and you want to and you make the foie gras and it's too rare, when you slice it, you can always take those slices, put them back in a pan,
that's
and finish them off.
You can finish them back in a pan.
But
if you want.
Does make quite a bit of fire on your grill because all that duck fat goes into the grill.
Just be careful with this. There's a lot of fat here, and things could flame up on you.
But what you do is if you take that whole liver and then you slice it and serve it to your guests. Absolutely incredible. Grilled
it is really
foie gras,
delicious.
And it's a tremendous presentation to do tableside. We do it in stage left. If you come in, we get parties of four or more. We'll do a whole grilled foie gras that will slice tableside. Absolutely, absolutely incredible. And when you use foie gras in the pan, when you cook it in the pan, and it renders all that duck fat out of the foie gras liver, save that fat.
You can
use that as a cooking medium. You make French fries in that. Incredible. You fry anything
in that. Hash browns the next day.
Oh, my God. Or you put your vegetables in that. Beautiful, beautiful. We're going to take a minute. We'll take a break. We'll come back in just a moment with Ariane Degan of D'Artagnan. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Mark Pascal and Francis shot of stage left at Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Our guest today is returning. She's been on the show before. Ariane Degan is our friend. She owns D'Artagnan, which is the premier producer of foie gras in the United States. And she's come to talk with us about the growing movement against foie gras. And Ariane and we are on the same side of that fight.
Ariane.
And hopefully the growing movement for foie gras.
Welcome to the show, Ariane.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me again.
Ariane, you may not realize this, but you were on with us our very first week of shows, And you were one of our first and guests that we enjoyed the most.
And now, aren't we supposed to have champagne? Or?
Actually, absolutely.
You know what the bummer is? That's illegal in a radio station in Jersey. You can't bring in anywhere. You can't bring alcohol in.
Francis, you know it's okay.
What?
We have two restaurants where it's not illegal. So it won't be a big
problem.
We'll
get together later and do that. Ariane, we brought you on again because when we talked about a year and a half ago was this sort of the looming clouds of animal rights activists. And believe me, Mark and I work every day in our restaurant and have had, if you listen to our show over the many years, we've had many people who work for keeping family farmers on the farm for humane methods of animal husbandry. But there's a certain section of the animal rights movement, by no means the majority of them, who have come out against foie gras, and foie gras is the fattened liver of a duck.
Right.
And we've had what we find is a terribly disturbing developments in that the city of Chicago, the city council banned there the consumption or production of foie gras. What's your take on all this, Ariane?
Well, for me, it's a blessing in disguise. Seriously, because it is showing that two things. It is showing, one, that people who are not veterinarians or agricultural engineers don't know anything and are misled by misinformation and shouldn't
legitimize.
Yeah.
Or
even have an opinion until they read things that are coming from authorities who know what they are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is that we also see now that the people behind the anti-foie gras are not anti-foie gras at all. They are anti-everything, anti-meat, poultry, soft shell crab, everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's explain for our listeners that foie gras, how foie gras is made. Foie gras is a type of duck's liver. It's a fatted duck's liver. And how you get that duck's liver to be fat is you take advantage of the natural process that ducks do. They normally eat and gorge themselves, which fattens their liver, before they migrate. So migratory birds often do this, and they can expand their liver. And the way that we do it is we you have a process called gavage where you hand-feed the duck cornmeal. And you do that over a period of time, and so the duck's liver gets fat right before slaughter, so you have this fat liver. Did I get that right?
Yes, and you do that through a funnel. The funnel is put in the beak and goes to a certain way in the neck. The neck is insensitive.
It's insensitive.
It's
explain
lined
that.
With cuticles, so there is no damage there ever.
Uh-huh.
And the, as you were saying, there is this natural propensity during migration. So the duck, after a couple of days, think that he is in migration mode, and he actually goes to the feeder.
So wait a second. Now, the animal rights activists out there will tell us that this is a cruel and inhumane way where you go and tackle the ducks and force this tube down the duck's throat
and
force feed it.
No.
You know,
that's not true. And they have done weird videos where they show things that are manipulated, whereas I have brought a bunch of restaurateurs of my clients to the farm several times, and now we're going there fast and furious because I really want to show the true side of this.
Of course.
And people look at it and say, oh, that's all it is? No, I mean, it's not, this is better than free-ranging chickens.
Right.
I mean, it's,
So the animal activists will say that this gavage stresses the ducks.
There is no stress on the duck, and short of being able to ask them and them to answer, there are now ways to find it with electrodes
that you monitor the duck's level of stress.
Yes, and we have found but Poultry Science Journal had a report from a French guy, Daniel Guémené. He's a doctor in veterinarian medicines, and he did an extensive study on ducks under force feeding and ducks not under force feeding and chickens and free-range chicken, and we're not talking about the industrial type.
Uh-huh. Right.
And there is no more stress in the force-fed duck than in the chicken.
You know, it's interesting. One of the things I think that we battle is anthropomorphism, you know, because people look at a duck with a tube down its throat and they think, my God, I wouldn't want a tube down my throat.
That would hurt me.
But you know what? If I put you out on the pond in the middle of winter and made you float on it for all day, you wouldn't like that either, now would you? You know? It's not that stressful for a duck to be fed. But it's crazy to me that this has become the flashpoint for animal rights activists. Well, you know what? And we're going to have to take a short break, and I'm talking too much, but I just get all riled up about this. You know, if I have to come back in my next life as a poultry of some sort, and I have a choice between coming back as a McNuggets chicken or a foie gras duck, I'm coming back as a foie gras
actually,
duck.
Actually, in the wild,
me too.
in the wild, if you were to put me next to an animal, I'm probably closest to the foie gras duck.
Actually, more like a big black bear, I think. But we'll be back in just a moment. We're talking with Ariane Degan about foie gras. It's an important issue, not just because of the food aspect of it, and it's not just for gourmets, it's about people's rights, and it's about separating the real issues of humane animal husbandry from the people who want to do away with animal husbandry altogether. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1125.
The place, Brooklyn, New York, post-World War II. An Italian-American woman named Captain Lombardi cooks for her family. What's so special about that? Well, lots. Food was central back then. Good food handed down from the traditions of two countries. Food that filled the whole house with the sweet smells of garlic, tomato, and basil. No matter when you stopped by or who you were sure to be fed and fussed over. Catherine showed her love on the plate and out of the pot. Any who were lucky enough to receive it never forgot. This is Mark Pascal from the Restaurant Guys radio show and Stage Left. I've just opened Catherine Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, and its mission, to live up to the standards set by Catherine Lombardi. So come by the bar, sit by the fire. Have some fresh mozzarella and antipasto. The manicotti and tortelloni are amazing, and the veal chop will make you cry. Our wine list, of course, without parallel. We've got to live up to the standard set by Catherine Lombardi. You see, Catherine Lombardi was my grandmother. Come let me show you where I came from.
Catherine Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, 732-296-9463 or CatherineLombardi.com. Hey, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants. Our guest today is Ariane Degan. She joins us again to talk about foie gras, especially in light of the fact that in Chicago, it has been banned as illegal. Foie gras is the fattened liver of a duck. And we are of the opinion, and Ariane is of the opinion, and most people who know about it are of the opinion, that it's really not an inhumane way to raise animals, especially if you compare it with your McNugget chicken. What effect, Ariane, has the ban in Chicago on foie gras and the pending ban, the looming ban that in 10 years you're not going to be able to produce foie gras in California, what's been the effect on the industry overall and on people
overall?
Well,
on the industry, it did something nice, which is it grouped us together,
yeah.
Which is difficult because you have three producers and they naturally, as a competitor, they don't like to talk to each other usually. So I'm trying to bind everybody there more or less.
Well, you know, one of the things that I think is interesting is that the animal rights activists have picked on foie gras because very few people eat it. And, you know, if they went and picked on the real culprit, which was McNuggets chicken, people would dismiss them as the cranks
or,
that they
or
are.
Or any agribusiness chicken.
That's one of their steps, but not because it's not the easy one for them,
mm-hmm. Right.
They're going to wait. Their next step, we've seen now, their next step is soft shell crab.
Mm-hmm.
Whole Foods, who has link with some of these, with the PETA in particular, with People for Ethical Treatment of Animals, has declared last weekend that they will not sell soft shell crabs anymore and they will look at lobster.
Because they think that it's inhumane how they're transported.
Right.
And they also think it's inhumane to boil something alive.
Right, right. So it's interesting to see that they did it for the soft shell crab, but lobster, who must represent a little more money, they are still hesitating,
mm-hmm.
Which that I find kind of...
Okay, so...
I think that after the news, we need to talk more about soft shell crabs, lobsters, the differences in
okay, they say
farming
it's,
these.
They say it's immoral to boil a lobster alive. It's better to stab it. It's
right.
Better. It's you know, it's that people don't understand that your food, if you're not a vegetarian, your food comes from animals. It gets raised in a certain way, it gets killed in a certain way, and you can't just take a little snippet of what you get in an animal rights protest. Because remember, PETA wants us to have no animals to eat. That's their goal. So to be taking it...
Or to do medical research with, or to get honey from, or milk from.
Right, because you're exploiting the bees. That's my favorite one.
Or,
exploiting
or.
The bees with the honey. Hold on a second. We have to take a short break for the news. We'll talk about minimum wage for bees when we come back and what that would do to the economy. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1130.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with Francis Shaw. Together we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. And we're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Our guest today is Ariane Zagan. She is the founder and owner of D'Artagnan, which is a place where Mark and I actually do a lot of business with, a lot of specialty foods. But they primarily were built on foie gras. Foie gras is the fattened liver of a duck. And many animal rights protesters are out there complaining about and trying passing laws against and being successful, sadly, in passing laws against foie gras production. When it's our position, having seen the process, in Ariane's position, that the raising of a foie gras duck is a whole lot less cruel than the raising of a McNugget chicken or the beef that you have on your hamburger at the end of every day. We were talking about the real agenda behind the people who go out and protest the production of foie gras. And do you really think it is an abolition of raising any sort of animal for food or even using any animal to produce milk or honey or anything like that?
That's their philosophy. That's on their website. That's what they are all about. And on my side, at D'Artagnan, what we are all about is to bring good food from animals that were raised the right way. Mm-hmm. Because my philosophy is when you have a happy chicken, you have a tasty chicken. When you have a happy duck, you have a tasty duck.
Well,
so my interest is that those animals be happy during their life.
Well, we had a woman from
Humane Farm Animal Care, Adele Douglas.
CertifiedHumane.com named Adele Douglas, and she even came on the show and said, listen, foie gras ducks are the least of our concern. When we're talking about humanity towards animals, we're talking about penning chickens in cages where they have to be debeaked or they'll peck the eyes out of the chicken next to them.
Yeah, eggs. I mean, how you get eggs to be so cheap in America?
How do you get eggs? Why don't you just what Mark was just talking about was the way that your chickens are produced for your Purdue oven stuffer roaster. Ariane, why don't you talk to us about the difference between how are foie gras ducks raised and how do they live their lives as opposed to, you know, your industrial chicken?
Okay. Well, a foie gras duck is a moulard duck. It's a mule. It's a crossbreed between a Muscovy and a Pekin.
Mm-hmm.
So a Pekin is your Long Island style duck. Long Island style duck is at five weeks old, it's adult and usually processed at 5 weeks. However, a Muscovy is 9 weeks old.
Mm-hmm.
So taking from the father, we have to wait 9 weeks before we do anything with that duck.
And these ducks are raised in that 9 weeks. How do they spend their time?
So the first 9 weeks, unless it's the dead of the winter, the first 9 weeks, those ducks, except the first week, which there are too much babies there inside under heat lamps,
mm-hmm.
After that, they go out in a field where you have the food on one side of the field and the water on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
That way, they have to go back and forth all day long. We create, basically, athletes.
Uh-huh.
We need those strong muscles.
So this is how we think of ducks walking around on a farm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And, uh-huh. And you want those muscles in the legs because they are going to have to carry this heavy liver for a while. And that's why we make confit, because those duck legs, you cannot roast.
Right.
You
okay.
cannot eat. You cannot do a quick grilling on it.
So
they need to. When the muscle gets very tough like that, and a very strong muscle, it needs to be cooked over a longer period of time to kind of soften out that muscle.
So
either braising or confing, which is cooked in its own juices or fat.
So we have 9 weeks of ducks walking around on a farm.
Yeah.
Now, what happens in the first 9 weeks of an agribusiness chicken's life?
In a industrial,
yeah,
mm-hmm. They go right away inside where you need to put a mask on to be able to get in the pen because of the dust is so. Our free range organic chicken have 4 square feet per animal,
mm-hmm.
And they have access to the outside. Even though in winter they don't take the opportunity, there is still the two sides of the barn, the width of the barn, that are totally open.
So, mm-hmm. But what about the industrial chicken? How much
industrial
space
chicken?
Have?
They don't. They are inside. There is no requirement as far as space. They are one on top of the other. And that's why people have to use antibiotics and all kind of medicine packs to keep those guys living like that.
You started to tell us about eggs. Tell us how the eggs are produced.
But same thing. In the eggs, you actually have hens in there that can't do a half term in the cage. And they do that for a year and a half, two years.
Okay, so now after the first 9 weeks, we start the gavage, we start the hand feeding, or what the opponents
would
call force feeding.
Okay, so in order to do that, you have to put them inside. Mm-hmm. So now they are inside. They are four to five in a pen.
And how big is a pen?
It's not that big, because you don't want them to spend calories now.
Right, okay.
Okay, but they are with their buddies, and they can roam around.
Okay.
They are in a...
Still more room than an agribusiness chicken.
Considerably more.
Oh, more considerably, yeah. They have enough, they have as much legal room as a free-range chicken.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then three times a day, you have a person, usually it's the same person, for 2 weeks, up until 3 weeks, depending on which farm you're talking about, who's going to come three times a day with a funnel and who's going to spend 5 seconds per duck giving it corn.
Now he grabs those ducks and he chases the ducks and grabs them by the
neck. He doesn't have to chase. Oh, okay. Usually it's a woman, but they don't, not necessarily. They don't have to chase those ducks. The first day, yes, they will. Because the first day, you are now inside a pen where you have ducks and the predator. Man is a predator.
Right.
It is not
so
natural for duck to go close to the predator.
Right.
But after the second day, they are on the migration mode, they go for it.
So after the second day, the ducks like it, and
yep.
they come toward the feeder. Interesting.
Yep.
And the reason you use the same feeder is to, again, minimize the stress of the ducks, right?
Totally. Yeah.
So this doesn't sound so cruel to me, Ariane. I don't know.
It's not.
And then how long do we go on with this, and then we slaughter the duck?
2 to 3 weeks.
You know, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. That's how you raise an animal in the farm. I mean, is much more humane than what you have others. Let's compare and contrast for a minute. Okay, yes, these animal rights extremists are having some successes. And you know what? Even if you don't care about foie gras, you should be alarmed out there that extremists like this are stopping legitimate businesses from doing legitimate things with disinformation, with stupid feel-bad politics.
And the problem is they're going for what we call the low-hanging fruit.
Right.
Okay. They are going for, okay, there are only three foie gras producers in the northern hemisphere. Okay. There are only three of them.
So plus, it has this French connotation.
Right.
Plus, it is elitist, you know, it's expensive. Yes, it is expensive. I mean, they are being raised 12 weeks instead of 5 weeks.
Right.
So you have all this, plus you see it in fancy restaurants, not in the diner.
Mm-hmm.
So all this makes it an easier target than the eggs from the caged hens.
So the foie gras gets to live twice as long as the table duck, the regular table duck. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
and better.
So it lives a better life. Gets fed as much as it wants to eat, and, you know, it just seems to me that we're attacking this particular industry because there's not a lot of dollars behind this industry for it to defend itself.
Now, but it doesn't require most Americans to do anything they don't like. But listen, everybody, your civil liberties are eroded by taking other people's rights away first, the people who are least likely to fight back first. And I want to talk about just how this war is being waged, not just in the court of public opinion and with disinformation, and not just in the legislatures. And we only have a minute, but we'll take a break and come back to it. What are some of the more extreme tactics these people are taking, Ariane? Can you talk to us a little about that?
Right now, they are going on the one-on-one. For example, one of the three producers, the one in California, there has been pressure to their slaughterhouse not to deal with them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So they are, and that was done by Whole Foods,
mm-hmm.
Whole people. So actually, right now, Sonoma Foie Gras is in a lawsuit against Whole Foods because Whole Foods has put pressure and has convinced the slaughterhouse not to deal. It was a blackmail, basically.
So what's alleged in the lawsuit, and this is alleged, they're alleging that Sonoma Foie Gras is alleging that Whole Foods said to the processor, if you keep processing the foie gras ducks, we're not going to buy from you anymore. And
which
they
is
had,
illegal.
Which is a
restraint of trade.
Yeah, it's called infringement of have a contractual something, something.
And you know, but it's like, you know, these, it's not a fair fight. It's not a true debate about the merits of the case in the court of public opinion. But I also want to talk about some of the extreme violent and illegal ways that, that PETA, or people who support PETA's position, have taken to going again, going up against independent restaurateurs and independent operators.
Well, PETA itself, I don't know, but they have an extremist branch who has been known and who is being investigated right now to harass people.
I'll be we'll be back in just a moment with Ariane Degan of D'Artagnan talking about foie gras and the legislative climate in the United States in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1145. Hi, this is Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants and also of The Restaurant Guys radio show. You know, one of the best things about the restaurant business is the creative side of it. Coming up with big ideas and then turning those concepts into reality is awesome. It's what I love most about what I do. But it can't stop there. If you can't communicate exactly what it is you're doing, then you'll find yourself standing alone in your dining room, just you and your big ideas. The Mardini Group can help you get your ideas across to others. The Mardini Group is a boutique graphic design firm, and they do extraordinary work. We use them, and as you know, we only use the best. Whether it's menu design, product packaging, a corporate report, promo material, a homepage, or an awesome logo for a brand new project like Catherine Lombardi, we turn to the Mardini Group. Some small business owners don't realize how important it is to have a strong visual identity. Without it, you come across as less than professional. That can cost you trust, and that lowers your bottom line. First impressions count for a lot, and that's why you need the Mardini Group. Go to RestaurantGuysRadio.com and click on the Mardini Group link, or call them at 718-694-9944. The Mardini Group for graphic design, 718-694-9944.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Mark, Pascal, and Francis Schott of Stage Left in Catherine Lombardi Restaurant in downtown New Brunswick. Our guest today is Ariane Degan, our friend who is the founding partner, one of the founding partners and owner of D'Artagnan, which sells a lot of great specialty foods. And her family has been producing foie gras for a long, long time. And she's been
seven generations.
So this isn't a fly-by-night thing for you.
No.
Seven generations of foie gras. She's the first to do it in the United States of America. And her industry is coming under attack by people who are saying that foie gras is cruel and inhumane. Listen, if you know about how foie gras ducks are raised and you know about how McNuggets chickens are raised, you know for a fact that foie gras ducks are much more humanely raised than the agribusiness chickens. Let's talk though about, as we had begun before the break, Ariane, about some of the tactics that the more extreme members of the no foie gras movement are taking against restaurateurs and individual operators. Do you have an example for us?
Yeah, so in California there was this second producer, Artisanal foie gras. Mm-hmm. They were renovating a little cafe in the Sonoma, in St. Helena, I believe, or somewhere there in the Sonoma Valley. And I don't know if you've met Laurent Maric. He was the owner, partner of this, and he's now the executive chef at Aqua in San Francisco. He actually got threats. First, he didn't take it seriously. You know, he got his car tagged, and then the garage door tagged. And then one day he received a videotape of his wife and kid taken from inside his garden.
Yeah.
Of his wife and kids in the backyard. Okay,
yeah.
People who are claiming that we need to treat our animals more humanely are taking videos of this guy's children in his backyard, threatening him that
there was a legend on it saying stop it or else.
Yeah, okay, so you crazy nutsos out there, you're morally bankrupt if you value human life less than you value foie gras. Or frankly, you know what, if you think a baby and a duckling are the same, you're a lunatic. And that these people should be swaying public opinion at all is crazy to me. I mean, it's just insane.
Where are we going to? Anyway, let's move on. I mean, we know that there are some crazies behind this movement. But let's talk about, and we started to talk about this earlier, where this movement is going. Because what this movement would like, And whether you realize it or not, what this movement would like is they would like us to stop eating all different kinds of meat and seafood, period. They would like us all to be vegetarians.
And
that's the goal of the group that's behind
just,
the foie gras.
Not just vegetarians, ovo-lacto-vegetarians. I mean, many members of this movement feel we're exploiting bees to take honey. We're exploiting cows to take milk. I mean, do you have any insight on for us on that area?
Well, basically, I like the idea of trying to improve our agricultural industry as a general manner, you know, so that people are more responsible, so there is more sustainable agriculture, so people do it in a more organic way, more natural way, so we don't have antibiotics residual in our meat when we eat it and we end up with it without knowing it, that type of stuff. So on that side, I like this type of movement on a soft basis, creating demand for that, and we've been pioneering this at D'Artagnan. We were the first ones to have a certified free-range organic chicken. We actually had an organic chicken 10 years before the USDA put the seal, the official seal on it. So people were buying our chicken twice the price than the other chicken, without effectively knowing exactly what was going on there.
We remember, Ariane.
So I'm all for that. I mean, right now we have, in Ozark Mountains, we have a small cooperative of 20 farmers who are raising Berkshire pork for us, which is beautiful.
It is beautiful.
The complete opposite of the other white meat.
Right, the red meat.
When we serve Berkshire pork in the restaurant, which we do every day, we have to explain to people, listen, it's going to be a little bit red. Don't be surprised.
Right.
Yeah, but it's going back to the basics. And this tide I like, and I really hope, and I'm convinced it's not a trend. I'm convinced it's here to stay. But what you were saying, the fact that philosophically there are people out there who think a man and an animal are on the same level, then, well, this is not possible. I mean, you call them lunatic.
But what bugs me is that your average person who only has a lot of people, they have a 2-minute attention span to this. Let's compare it with another way of butchering meat. I mean, if you compare the production of foie gras, or if you wanted to outlaw anything that seemed, I'm tongue-tied now, but people are talking about the difference between kosher slaughtering of meat and foie gras production. If we outlaw foie gras production, don't we also need to outlaw the kosher production of meat?
It should be outlawed first.
Yeah.
So terrible. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's really, really, really bad.
So,
or fishing. Fishing with a hook.
Yeah.
Or even fishing with a net.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about it, how long is that fish going to be asphyxiated like that without the water where it's supposed to, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But we need to, again, we need to look at these things, and we need to look at them with an open eye, okay? We are carnivores, omnivores. That's you know, this little pointy tooth on the side of my mouth. It was second grade that they told me that was for ripping and tearing.
Yeah.
There is a great quote by Mario Batali. Mario said at the Wine Experience
You know what? This is a great teaser for the next segment. We're going to have to take a short break for a commercial. And if you want to hear what Mario Batali said, you have to stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Our guest is Ariane Degan, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Captain Lombardi. Our guest today is Ariane Degan of D'Artagnan. We're talking today about foie gras, and Ariane, right before the break, you were going to give us a quote from the famous Mario Batali on foie gras. What did he say?
Well, he said, there is, in life, there is a food chain, and as a man, I'm really happy to be on top of that food chain.
Well, you know, the other thing that's funny about people
I most like eating bears and lions and things like that.
Yeah, because you want to eat something that would eat you if it had the chance?
Yes, exactly.
But, you know, the thing about it is, you know, when you talk about total animal rights, which is what, and not eating animals at all on a matter of principle. Listen, if that's your personal choice, that's fine. But when you try and enforce it on me and you tell me that it's morally wrong and an animal's equivalent to a man, you know, listen, if I don't eat that rabbit that's running through the field, It's not going to retire to Florida and die watching television surrounded by its family. You know, the owl is going to eat the rabbit, and it's going to eat its intestines while the rabbit watches. Sorry out there to shock you all.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, and it's, I mean, there's nothing.
It's
animals
nature.
Don't die of natural causes.
Right.
It's
if you want to, we should go out and get rid of all the cougars because to make the antelope safe.
Or we should convict them because of the equivalent of a man. They're breaking the law.
You know, there is another thing in the same vein, is that there are some animals on Earth right now, today, who would not exist if it were not for man's use of them.
Right, because we create a market for them, and a market for the
meat,
they
still
exist.
You know, cows. Mm-hmm. Cows today would have disappeared if man wasn't there to take care of them.
The American bison was on the verge of extinction until we created a meat market for buffalo meat, and now it's off the endangered species list. Ariane, we're coming to the end of the show, so we need to say goodbye, but I want to thank you for coming to talk to us about this.
Such a pleasure.
No, thank you very, very much. It's so few times where I have the opportunity to give my side of the story, you know.
Well, and you know, and actually, we're going to put a link up on our website, restaurantguysradio.com, where you can find out more about Ariane. You can go and find out how to buy some foie gras yourself. We can find some recipes for it, and you'll see how wonderful it is. And I'm sure if you wanted to go visit and see the process, you can contact Ariane directly. You can contact D'Artagnan, and they'll facilitate.
And D'Artagnan distributes some of the best food in America. Thanks again, Ariane.
Thank you.
Take care. Hope you guys have enjoyed the hour listening to the Restaurant Guys. Look, everything is not as simple as it appears. Sometimes stuff is counterintuitive. Learn more. If you want to have strongly held opinions, you should probably have at least some information to make up your own.
And remember, soft-shell crabs are really just the bugs of the ocean. Don't worry about eating them, okay?
Except the yummy. Hope you've enjoyed the hour. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are the Restaurant Guys. Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon.